Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Carl Gerke. And joining us now from our Rapid City studio is Rapid City Police Chief Steve Allender. Chief, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you taking the time. And next week you are, what is it called, officially turning in your badge? Is that what it's called?
That's one way to look at it, and that's a good view on it.
A good view. 29 years on the force. Let's start at the beginning. Talk about being what one of the youngest officers hired in Rapid City.
Well, I think I was about the average age when I was hired as a police officer. But then, as I moved up, I was the youngest detective, the youngest sergeant, the youngest lieutenant. And so on. And so I've always had this feeling of being looked at as a kid, and now all of a sudden I'm looked at as the old guy.
The old man.
Yeah.
But you're not old.
Well, I'm old-ish.
There you go. Well, let's talk, 29 years on the job, on the force. How has policing changed over 29 years?
Well, it's changed a great deal. When I was a young police officer and we had an especially rough night out in the field, we may come in the building and have someone's blood on our uniform, a victim or a suspect or whatever, and we kind of wore that around like a badge of honor, And now, they practically call out the hazmat team if there's a drop of blood anywhere. Things are very different. The technology, of course, has driven policing. And so much so that I think it might be a little bit over the top. But it's a different world, same people, different world. And the internet, social media has allowed our customers to be quickly judgmental and do a quick analysis of our efficiencies and our justifications and so on. So we have a much more intense relationship with the community these days.
Well, and you're active, though, on social media.
I am.
Yeah? Is that weird for you?
No, it's not weird for me. It's fun. And that's the difference. I don't have an especially serious social media platform. My goal with social media was to identify with other human beings in the community to let them know that I was just a little different than a typical talking head or a typical mm-hmm. government official.
You let them know you're human.
Yes, I am human. I am.
That's
also
not always the case, is it, with police officers?
Well, it doesn't seem like it. There are penalties for being human in public service, I've just disregarded that, and I've. This job, my career over 29 years, and especially over the last 7 years as chief, it's a very personal interaction with the community, much more so than people might imagine. But so I portray myself as just who I am. I'm an opinionated police officer. I have a view on the world that is unique to me, and I believe that to some extent the public deserves to know about that.
A view on the world that's unique to you. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, I have my own unique upbringing, my own unique life experiences, and being a police officer for decades puts an edge on a person sometimes as far as how they view the world. I also have some would call it a defense mechanism, but if they knew me, they would know that I've been this way my whole life. I was the class clown, and I like to lighten up situations, and so I try to inject humor, sometimes bad humor, into every day at work.
And as Rapid City has grown and changed, how has policing kept up? Is it more difficult, or does technology changing help that?
Well, technology, I believe, actually doesn't help the art of administering public safety to a community. It can make things more efficient in as much as running driver's license, name checks, looking at mugshots out in the field, and so on. And of course, we don't have file cabinets today. We have computer servers, which come with their own vulnerabilities. It's a different animal today.
Has criminals changed? Has crime changed?
Well, criminals have not changed. They just have different tools now to earn their living. There's a lot of internet crimes, especially in the the pornography realm with child pornography. There are scams and those sorts of things, but there is still somebody out there today who's going to bonk somebody else on the head and commit an old-fashioned assault without the aid of technology. So they're the same people and the same crimes. And we are seeing, since I've started here, we have grandchildren of criminals that I used to tangle with back on the job. So that doesn't make me feel particularly good or young either.
Well, let's ask the big question. At the age of 52, is that right?
Correct.
Why are you retiring?
Well, I have a list. I have an imaginary list, which I'm actually considering putting down on paper and releasing as a blog. But I think all of us have an imaginary list of reasons that will push us into retirement or to a career change or whatever. But on my list are a number of things. Some of them irritations. Some of them, such things as being, I've been successful. And I've accomplished much, and I'm a little bit tired, and I've been in the job a long time. But the main motivating factor for me in deciding to retire now is because our department is in very good shape. It's in very good hands. And I never wanted the feeling of jumping off a burning ship to save myself. And so I'm getting out at a time when I believe the agency will not miss a beat when I leave. People are in place who can do everything I'm doing and more. And so it's just time to hand off the baton to a faster runner. That's how I feel.
Take me back to that day when the two officers were shot.
Yes. August 2nd, 2011. In our business, it's a sin to use the word routine, because routine implies that you do something over and over without thinking. And our officers on the, on the street, think through every situation they're in. So, but this has been classified as a routine contact with four citizens. It was part of the street crimes unit. In 2010, we developed the street crimes unit to focus on minor annoyances and crimes that had an effect on the quality of life in Rapid City. So there were officers that day paying particular attention to four individuals that were drinking in a park and walking around on the city streets with a bottle of alcohol, broad daylight. And I would say a couple of years ago, we might not have given those folks a second look because we always have something more pressing to do. But in this case, we had a special unit designated, committed to those type of crimes. So these four people were confronted on Anamosa Street, and there was a time when one of the people was believed to be giving a false name, and it was a false name. So we had three police officers there, Ryan McCandless, Nick Armstrong, and Tim Doyle. And Ryan McCandless went back to the patrol car to look at a mugshot of the person whose name was given, and the other two officers stayed with the suspects and released a few of the suspects because they were no longer needed. And in the blink of an eye, this suspect wearing baggy clothing pulled out a pistol and began firing and immediately disabled Officer Armstrong and then turned and shot Officer Doyle. And Doyle was seriously wounded, but and temporarily was out of commission. But he went down on his hands and knees as he tried to regain his composure. At some moment, Officer Doyle was able to rise up to his knees and fire a shot, but then went back down. And at that time, the suspect, Daniel Tiger, and Officer McCandless were engaged in a gun battle, and both of them were hit. And as a result, Armstrong and McCandless died. Tim Doyle recovered and was back to work in 3 weeks. So it was a bad day. Bad day for all of us, and bad day for the community, and really gave us a sense of what security is and isn't. And I've always maintained that security is a feeling. It's not really a physical thing.
And it's something that's stayed with you ever since that day.
Oh, yes, it stayed with me. You know, the more I tend to talk about it, the more it sounds like a hard luck story or a sob story, but it's really not. It's just the way it was. But I had an ever-changing role throughout this event and over the next several months. And I had a number of different, in hindsight, I had a number of different strategies that I was trying to work out. I never knew at the time really what or why I was doing what I was doing. But I thought it was important to allow the community to identify with these officers as humans. Therefore, they could mourn the loss of them along with us. And then we could try to work together to rebuild.
Did it change how you managed your force?
Well, not necessarily, but I think it changed something in me that I really haven't identified yet, but I think it makes me a little more anxious in the middle of the night when the phone rings. You know, before I never questioned that one of our people were safe. Even when I would get a call and say that we had an officer-involved shooting, that just always meant to me that an officer had been forced to shoot someone else. So I kind of sound like my mother used to sound now, you know, get that call in the middle of the night and you're startled and you want to know if everybody's okay. And so it was odd for me. I came in this department, in this profession, as a young man, and I think I'm going out more as a father than anything.
Well, there's a memorial going in the summer for the fallen officers, and will this provide some sort of closure?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know if this is an issue of closure or not having closure. It's just a big scar on the soul of the community and on the department. And soon we'll have so many new police officers working that no one will really remember what happened on that day. And except for the people like me who are out there in the community and will remember. It's just a sad day.
And so tell me, let's talk a little bit about some of your more favorite moments of your career.
Well, oddly enough, that's a tougher question for me to answer, because I've tried every day of my career, and especially as chief, to do a good job, to do everything expertly. And of course, I can't, because I'm human and I make mistakes, and I've learned half of everything I've learned through mistakes. But I really paid more attention to my mistakes and my shortcomings than I have any of my successes. If I've done something great or wonderful, even if I've gotten a lot of attention for it, I've always just simply chalked it up to doing what was required of me, and I've not copied things down onto my resume or or, you know, tried to make myself feel or look good about it. Call it work ethic or call it something. I don't know if there's a name for it, but I could probably tell you about everything I've ever goofed up, but I couldn't tell you
okay,
about
give
everything.
Me one. Give me one goof up. Give me a good goof up.
well, I failed to, I was out of the country. I went to Central America on a mission project, and I was out of the country, and I hadn't set up a proper plan back home to deal with all of my correspondence. And I got a letter from the ACLU while I was gone, and it wasn't immediately answered. It wasn't answered till I came home. And during that time, it caused some festering wound with a situation we had, and it was made worse because I
you ignored it.
Well, I didn't. I mean, I ignored. No. I suppose that's the way it appeared. It appeared that it wasn't important, but I just simply didn't have someone opening my mail and reading everything and responding to it because I was out of contact.
Mm-hmm.
I have hundreds of stories about goof ups.
You could write a book.
Yeah, that would be pretty depressing, probably.
You know, you are a police chief who kind of advocated for different issues. A lot of police chiefs don't. Why did you choose to go out in front and be an advocate?
Well, I think it's a responsibility. When you're a public servant, I think you work for the people. I don't really think you work for your boss. And you have to always be reassessing what your priorities are in your job. And for mine as a chief, one of my main priorities was not to lose sight of who I was or what I stood for. And so if a topic came up that I felt like I needed to be an advocate for, I was. And I know that I've made people uncomfortable over the years, and I may have even, shocked a person or two, but it goes back to my original intent to reveal to everyone that I was a human being and that I, even if I'm not right all the time, I always have an opinion or a thought about whatever's happening. And I think it should be comforting for a citizen sitting at home to know what the police chief thinks. And so that's why I really have advocated for things.
And are you retiring, or do you have other aspirations in mind?
Well, I don't think I'm retiring. I'm only 52. I feel very young. I'm going out and I'm in good physical condition. But it's, I'm a bit of a hypocrite when it comes to this. I would tell someone not to retire until they had a plan of what they were going to do in their retirement. And the fact is I don't have a plan. And part of my retirement plan is to come up with a retirement plan. So I'm committed to, if any nice weather shows up this summer, I'm committed to taking all the nice weather off. And maybe some of the cooler weather, but when the blizzards and wind drive me back indoors in the winter, then I will be constructing my next phase plan. And I hope by that time I will have had enough rest and relaxation that I might have a little bit of creativity left to aid with that.